Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from. Today is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, and this is episode 33 of the Living with Freedom show. I'm Amber S., bringing to you a vision of what living a life of freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. This show is brought to you by Living with Freedom Ministries, an unincorporated private church and ministry where I help people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose, specifically through the creation of their own private ministry. Right now, I invite you to share this show with at least one friend because we're going to do our third show with Brittany, and she's going to join us in just a minute here, talking more about self-care, wrapping this concept up, and also giving us kind of this final component that a lot of us don't incorporate when we think about self-care. It might be the reason why we keep getting burned out, even when we try to keep self-care in the forefront of our minds. So please take a moment and copy the show link or share the social media post, and then we can get truth in more hands, because just like money in the hands of good people can do more good, truth in the hands of good people. Did I just say that weird? Truth in the hands of good people also does more good. All right. So, sorry we started a couple minutes late. It's like time just warp speeds when we're together. So, yeah. Sorry. Too many distractions. I want to first touch on the holiday of today. And per usual, my nerdy overachiever self couldn't pick just one. Today is both National Organize Your Home Office Day and National Working Moms Day. And I chose both of these because there are really so many obstacles in our culture today that try to prevent women from being the queens of their domain, which is their home and their family, and really being the most empowered version of themselves possible. I also know recently was International Women's Day. Actually timely that these two came up and they're on the same day. That being said, I'm going to transition into the word today because they're all going to tie in together as well as the stuff we're going to talk about for the topic. The word of the day, I'm taking a little bit different direction, and I'm actually going to be reading from the word, you know, the Bible, because National Working Moms Day, what better thing to read than Proverbs 31? And I really want to focus on being the most empowered version of that. So I'm going to read what it says. An excellent wife who can find, Proverbs 31 that starts at verse 10. I'm just going to read it through pretty fast and then kind of highlight the things that I see. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She also, She extends her hands to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, because her household are all clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself, her fine linen and purple. Her husband knows in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Almost done. I love that they just like list boom, 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 all of her traits. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom and teaching. and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well on the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she is praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So what I love here, which is really different compared to what a lot of, I feel like, churches tend to focus on with the Proverbs one woman, it seems like they tend to focus on just the loving charitableness. Did I just make up a word?
Might be a word.
Probably charitability. I don't know. Whatever. Charitableness. I'm making it
I
up
think
now.
It, is.
It seems like that always seems to be the main focus of the Proverbs 31 woman, where I love that they talk about she considers a field and buys it. And then from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This tells me, you guys, that women absolutely did work. And not just in the home as like the 1950s stay-at-home mom. Yes, her family was her priority. And
it's a word.
Charitableness. Yes.
It's a word. It's special. Google says.
I do make up words. Like promotional is actually a word that I made up with a friend in post-college. So I have been known to make up words that are now used by people.
So thank you for finding that, Brittany.
Yes, you're welcome. So knowing that women can do all these things, we have this creative energy and this nurturing energy that can do multiple things. Like, you know, we shouldn't be putting ourselves in a box or letting culture put us in a box, whether it's to be, you know, a working mom out of the home or to only be the stay-at-home mom, being the homemaker. Like, we can do both. We can work from home. Like, there's so many possibilities that we don't have to sacrifice one or the other. We can integrate them all and be empowered. But part of that ties back to organizing your home office and really just your home in general. And self-care.
Mm-hmm.
If the Proverbs 31 woman was not grounded in her faith, in taking care of herself so that she can take care of her family, she would have burned out. I can guarantee that. Like, because I'm a mom, Brittany's a mom, like, we can speak mm-hmm. from experience. If we don't have self-care, we're going to burn out.
All about balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, while I don't have any specific tips on how to organize your home office, but I think we're going to integrate that concept in a more, not philosophical, like
broader
psychological,
fashion.
Well, yeah, broader fashion, exactly, part of self-care. So whatever your flavor of organization is, there are a plethora of resources out there, podcasts, YouTube videos, checklists. That's not our focus for today. The focus is using it as a form of self-care. So without further ado, we're going to bring Brittany on. Hopefully you guys are familiar with Brittany. I will give just a mini rundown. She's a mom. She's also a Midwest girl, just like me. She loves nature, tea, foraging, and music. She's super passionate and really interested in learning, growing in all aspects of life, particularly holistic wellness. And she has made it a mission, maybe not, I wouldn't say her only mission, but a mission in her life.
A very large mission.
Purpose.
Yes.
Part of my purpose. Exactly. To do these trainings and certifications. So currently she's a multi-certified yoga instructor, multi-certified, and I still, I did fix it. Multi-certified life coach, meditation facilitator, sound healer, Reiki practitioner, breathwork teacher, and more. So, hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Today is your third segment on mm-hmm. our three-part series.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it so far.
Me too. We've really dug into this concept of self-care and why it's so important to get us like out of like the sympathetic nervous system with that fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, and back into the parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest. last week we really kind of covered like a checklist of some of the things that we can do as forms of self-care. So what do you kind of have in store for us today to sort of wrap up this package?
Well, first I do want to touch on a couple of things, just kind of circling back to our last time there. And then we're going to talk probably for a hot minute on boundaries,
yes,
which is something we didn't even mention last time, but is so imperative to self-care and to your mental health and just pretty much everything in general. Boundaries are amazing. So they're,
yes,
not always easy. They're definitely one of the harder things that you have to do in this journey, but...
And they don't make you selfish for having.
No.
You are not selfish for having a boundary. Like, I will totally touch on that and probably rant for a hot minute, too, when we get to that. But just know right off the bat, you are not selfish for having a boundary. They're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But then that'll kind of bring us back to the parasympathetic nervous system. I want to touch on few things that I specifically do in my practice and that I've really fallen in love with that help with that, stimulating the parasympathetic, like yoga, meditation, breath work, and sound specifically. So we're going to take a little bit deeper dive into those things and how you can kind of get started in developing your own practice. And then we're going to end with, we're going to spin off on the sound aspect of it. And depending on how it goes, we might have to just have another segment completely on sound.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I've been thinking more and more that we should probably just plan to have like a bonus session.
Yes, I agree. I think that's what we're just going to do. It. It's going to,
yep,
happen.
Absolutely.
So come back and see us in 2 weeks.
No, right.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, circling back to kind of where I started with that and what we talked about two weeks ago, we went through a lot in a short amount of time. And one thing when listening back on it, I didn't know if we stressed enough that like everything that we listed, you do not have to go out and do. That is overwhelming. That is too much to handle. But just remember to take small steps. So if one of those things stood out to you, try it out. If you like it, keep it. If you don't, move on. You know, so you can add as many things as you want, as slow or as fast as you want, and you can change them at any time. So I did just want to stress on that because it's not like, here, go do all of these things. And, you know, no, it's a practice that you develop and grow as the years from here on out go on.
Yeah. I mean, a great example, not exactly tied to self-care, but a great example of this is I know of people who went full-fledged vegan, both for health reasons and for ethical reasons, and they changed their entire life, or they attempted to, and they got so burned out by this constant effort of checking every label, checking every label in their food, which means all food, their personal care products, their clothing, the cookware that they're using, just everything in their home. It is overwhelming. And I'm not saying it's not worth it if you don't believe in the cause. If you believe in the cause, go ahead, but don't literally throw your entire life away. Start in one area.
Mm-hmm.
Even just like if you're trying to clean up the toxins in your home, any good health and wellness teacher is going to tell you pick one area first, whether it's your cleaning products or personal care or supplements, like pick one and start there. So, and that's why we kind of talk about habit stacking too with the Atomic Habits, is build on what you already are doing. Because you already have a routine, you already have a habit, build on that already established thing, whether it's just tweaking it or adding little things to it. Little changes over time will create a big shift.
Mm-hmm.
Slow and steady wins the race. This is not a race here to be the best self-care guru on earth. in a month.
Right. No, it takes years and years, like forever. You know,
yeah.
You just keep growing
and
practice. You keep,
it's not a perfect.
You keep tweaking it and you know, it's your life. You can add whatever and keep going. And, but yeah, like kind of what Amber was touching on, like it's about creating lasting change, not just about, you know, doing things a few times and then going back to normal. It's about creating lasting change and creating habits. So, it is a slow and steady race for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, you don't have to start with anything too elaborate either. Like if some of the things we were talking about seems, you know, overwhelming, like one thing everybody does every single day, well, for the most part, I guess I shouldn't generalize like that, but brushing your hair. I know I talked to, I've talked to a few people about this, but one lady specifically who sent me a message and was like, you know, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because just taking the time and mindfully brushing your hair and being present. So like ripping through it in the morning when you're, you know, in a hurry, you got to go do this, that, taking the time and just really being present as you brush your hair and nurturing your hair and, you know, your body is really powerful. And it literally takes like a minute. I mean, I guess it depends on your hair.
Yeah. It depends on your hair. As I'm sitting here looking at Brittany's beautiful straight hair, and mine is like this wavy curly thing that I have tucked back in a bun, which I did not brush my hair today. So
it varies for everybody.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you did those disclaimers because like hair care for every person is going to look different, and
mm-hmm.
you can still do it in a way that's nurturing. Like, no, I may not have technically brushed my hair today, but I re-moisturized it with my daily moisturizer oil, and I finger brushed through it. I like got the bed, you know, what's the word?
Snarls?
No.
Bedhead.
Yeah, like I got the bed head out of it, basically. And I did that lovingly, you know,
mm-hmm.
caring for myself,
yeah.
knowing that this oil that I'm using, and you guys have heard me mention it before. I'll share it during one of our commercials, but that it's truly nourishing for my hair. It's not just a Band-Aid to give the appearance of healthy hair. It's actually creating healthy hair in the process. And it's something that smells great too for me. So I'm adding aromatherapy. That's how I layer on self-care. I incorporate the aromatherapy into something that I already have to do anyways. And it doesn't take me any more time now than someone who has to wash dry curl style their hair. It's just, I'm doing it a little bit differently. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, another thing, like, even if, like, if you have a commute, you can do some of the breathing stuff that Brittany mentions while you're driving, especially if you have a stressful commute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do this to reduce the stress during your stressful commute. And you're already in the car doing nothing besides driving anyways.
Multitasking.
Right? I mean, we've given health, you know, safety disclaimers. Don't close your eyes while
right.
you're driving. But time to incorporate some of these things that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can
yeah.
go on.
Just looking, you know, looking outside the box because, you know, all the things we just talked about, it self-care looks different for everybody. Like, it just does. So, yeah, just got to be creative and find ways to fit things in when you can. And,
mm-hmm.
And mostly it's just the perspective of it, just looking at it in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of looking at it as a have to, it's a get to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be a whole topic in and of itself. But, yeah, just shifting from have to get to. And that it's an honor to be able to have hair to brush.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a rabbit trail we don't necessarily have to get into because sometimes that thought can bring shame. And that's not the focus. It's like, I am grateful for the things I have, and I'm going to take care of them lovingly mm-hmm. and be appreciative for the things I have, including this temple that is my body.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's an honor. It's a sacred honor.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to go into
it? Let's touch on that one.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes. My favorite. It's a weird favorite to have. Don't judge me.
No, no judgment here. No judgment here.
I think we actually mentioned it in the first segment. We didn't even mention it on the second one. But one of my no negotiables is tongue scraping for my self-care routine. And I just wanted to touch on that a little bit because it is one that all you need is a tongue scraper, like an actual one, not like a metal one or a copper one, not your toothbrush. It's not the same. But it comes from an Ayurvedic practice. And what it is in the morning, when you wake up, while you were sleeping, your body has been detoxifying and sending out toxins, and those accumulate in your mouth. A lot of times when you stick out your tongue in the morning, if it's can be like white or yellow, different colors.
Gross. It's gross is what it is.
What that is bacteria from your stomach that like came up during digestion. So if you don't get it off of your tongue, I should have had a disclaimer on this one. It might gross you out.
TMI.
You might not want to know this. That bacteria is on your tongue, and that's where the tongue scraper comes in. You scrape it off so you don't, in turn, swallow it, and then your body has to
process it
again, and all of those toxins are back in your body, probably worse than they were the first time around. So when we talk about gut health, which could be a whole nother session, that is really the center of health, like immune system, of mental health even, like you would be amazed. So I guess in my mind, it's kind of like front line to help my gut, if that makes sense.
And your immune system.
And my immune system. So mm-hmm. It literally takes 30 seconds in the morning. That's it. I scrape my tongue and then I brush my teeth. But it's a really quick one you can add that can benefit.
So if you're also oil pulling, in what order would you do like this oil pulling, tongue scraping, like brushing your teeth? Are you also doing like mouthwash? Like, just give me an example. Like if you're doing, I have a hair in my mouth. oil pulling too. Like what does that like order look like?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you not do them at the same time?
I do oil pulling off and on. Like mm-hmm. I'll do good at it for a while and then I won't. And like, but I often oil pull at night now. When I started, I did in the morning, and you tongue scrape in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So not even like I think it's better night or day. It's just that's just the time that my self-care, like I have more time in the evening to do like a 3 to 5 minute oil pulling. You know, otherwise mm-hmm. the kids are talking to you. Can't talk to you for 5 minutes. Sorry. But anyways, I would tongue scrape first. Like I tongue scrape before I brush my teeth because I guess in my mind, when you're tongue scraping, you're breaking away free those germs in your mouth. And then when you brush, you are cleaning it all out from mm-hmm. ground zero. Whereas if you brushed and then you scraped, if you got
right.
some of that, you know, like you would still like uncover
a
small layer, you know, and it
yeah.
wouldn't be as,
yeah.
you know, so. And then like, if you were to add the oil pulling into there, I would probably do that after brushing then.
Oh, cause I always do oil pulling first so that I can like wipe away any excess that it got out.
Mm. Yeah. See, I'll oil pull and then I'll swish water, like warm water. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely do that.
But yeah, then I just kind of leave my teeth because I think with oil pulling, it kind of coats your teeth and, like, protects them, too. Like, when you oil pull for, like, hours of the day, like, you can feel it in your mouth. Your teeth, they're like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're happy.
Oh, yeah. No, I love oil pulling. Like, when I was doing mm-hmm. it consistently, like,
even after 2 or 3 days of consistently doing it, my teeth feel like I've just been to the dentist and had a cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
They just feel so smooth and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can get into the medical stuff, but I'm not going to because that's different topic, different day.
Right.
But, yeah, no.
But oral hygiene is important.
It's crazy how that's something that, you know, as kids, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but it's very often that kids tend to neglect that. And the more parents seem to, like, push it on us, the more we want to rebel. And then I think if we, better understood the benefits of it and really made it more of, like, a ritual instead of just a routine and kind of brought some of this, like, self-care aspect to it, maybe kids would not be so rebellious to wanting to brush their teeth. So,
right.
Well, I don't know. There's a thought, parents.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's pause quick for a commercial break. And then, or how quick?
Quick. I was going to say just do that quick and then we can jump into that, right?
Okay.
When we get going.
Okay. So we're actually going to wait on the commercial for another minute. Go ahead and, yeah.
Yeah, no, we just wanted to touch on another thing because of the holiday of the organization today. And we did touch on it the other day too, or previously. But that's just organization of your office and the holiday today, but of just life in general and in your space, in your house. It helps your mind stay decluttered, and it helps with a lot of things. It helps with anxiety. So if you're one that has anxiety, having a home for things where you don't have to be searching for it in a pile of random things, you know, if you know where it is and you can go and get it, that cuts down so much anxiety. So, you know, that's one thing I've really tried to do is just give things homes.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it back there because it makes life so much easier. And then you can, when things are clear and put where they're supposed to be, then you can do other things because you're not trying to, or, you know, so it's definitely.
Oh, she's speaking some truth there.
Definitely helpful.
Yep.
In that way. But we wanted to tie in with the holiday of the day that really is important.
Yeah. And here's something unique, you guys. The more that you focus on self-care, healing traumas, and clearing clutter, sort of like this trifecta, the easier it's going to be to clear clutter because, and I'm not a minimalist. I don't necessarily endorse minimalism. I'm not for or against it. It's just, it's not my jam. I know some people benefit from it. I also tend to be a little bit more on the prepper side of things. But clearing clutter will be easier as you continue to heal yourself because you're not going to necessarily have this emotional connection to saving things that just don't serve you. Like I had this pile of lanyards from different events I attended, things people gifted me. Like I appreciated them. They served their purpose. I appreciate the memories they represented. And I don't need 52 lanyards sitting around my house. I need maybe 3, you know, maybe my most favorite one, the one that I use every day, and a spare set, you know, for keys or whatever. And then just donate the rest. Know that it's going to, you know, someone who could really use that and maybe not be able to, you know, spend full price. And yes, it's just a lanyard. Lanyards aren't that much. And yet, it's like, and yet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need it sitting around my home. So if I had not worked on clearing like some of the emotional stuff and healing myself, though, I would have kept those things around longer because I still had that deep emotional connection to them that I felt like I needed them to be able to also keep the memories. I love the show Hoarders for that because the therapists on that show get into what keeping the items represents rather than mm-hmm. just seeing it as garbage. And that's, if you want inspiration on clearing clutter, I think it's a great mm-hmm. show.
And clutter changes the energy of the room.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you have it, you know, the room's a mess, and then you completely, like, it, the room literally seems lighter, like, physically, like, it looks lighter, like, it just, so it's awesome, pretty awesome.
As we're sitting in my room where I have two hampers of laundry sitting on my bed.
Okay, we're also moms, and life happens, so there's that side of it, too. Like, we talked about solving balance. We try.
Not gonna lie, like, but the first two times they were here, though, like, there was way less clutter, so it's just, it's a season. And
yeah,
it's like changing of seasons from winter to spring. So there's that going on too. I'm just using myself as like an example, not as like a punching bag, but like that I'm not perfect either.
It's a great example because it's a, we need to push it that you have to be patient with yourself because this is a process, like, and life is still happening as you're trying to do this. So it isn't easy. Like, your house is going to get messy. Like, you don't have to be perfect. Like she's saying, it's not a perfect,
mm-hmm,
it's a practice, or it's a practice, not a perfect.
Yeah, there we go.
Yep,
exactly.
So just patience with yourself,
mm-hmm,
and take it day by day because it's,
yeah,
hard.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, we're going to pause for a commercial break quick. And when we come back, we are going to touch on boundaries. I love how we both sang that.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Russ and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our show. See you then.
You know what I think we should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite. You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, Cross. Yeah, Mariah.
We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what
most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, and because we've been talking about self-care, including like hair care and personal care products, I want to share again about Tahl Organics, T-A-H-L. I've been using them for almost a year now, and my friend Coriel is the owner. She is so sweet and always adding new products. In fact, I am product testing a few new scents for the 24 Skin, I think is how you say it, product. It has like actual gold flecks in it, which is super fun. I'm also product testing, okay, not me because I don't have a beard, but my guy is product testing one that's like a beard oil that I'm hoping she can get launched here pretty soon. But anyways, these are some awesome products that you can incorporate into your self-care through personal care that are probably things that you're already doing anyways. You're just shifting what you're using. As Brittany finds one that's on my desk. You can totally check it out.
Check this out.
So definitely check out tallorganics.com or .net. Shoot, I forgot. tallorganics.com. And you can get 20% off your first order using Amber20.
This is .net.
Oh, I went to the website and it said .com. Okay, well, I'm going to type it in quick and we'll see what it pops up with. Here we go. TallOrganics.net. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
So my web browser did me wrong. It's .net, you guys. TallOrganics.net. And to get 20% off, when you go to check out, just enter the code AMBER20. And hope we'll be getting some new products out for you. I'm pretty pumped about product testing. She's been super great about feedback and yeah, I like having like a nighttime one that's like super hydrating, but also has more of the citrusy oils because they're photosensitive, so you shouldn't wear them in the sunshine because you don't want to burn. I hate burning, and I already have such pale skin, it's too easy for me to burn, so I don't like it. But I love using it at nighttime because it's just antioxidant, powerful, anti-inflammatory goodness that's so good for the skin. And I love their Cleanseful and Nourish Grow hair products, too. So everything I've tried so far has been absolutely phenomenal, nearly organic. I don't think she has, like, the organic certification because that nonsense costs too much just for a piece of paper that says you're organic. But very clean ingredients, all totally plant-based, not synthetic chemicals. So one more time, it's tallorganics.net and Amber20 for 20% off your first order. All right, we are back with segment two, and we're talking about boundaries, and Brittany gave me permission to start because I'm all hyped up on the topic of boundaries. If anyone listening has ever had to deal with any amount of trauma, PTSD, abuse, you know that boundaries on your, like, around your life are vital, literally for survival. Maybe not like life or death survival, but just to be able to live everyday life. For me, one of the biggest things I learned is that boundaries are healthy, like we said at the beginning, and especially when it comes to the work that you do, the more that you protect and honor your time as sacred and valuable, the more other people are actually going to recognize that and value your time too. A great example that I have is I know some of my mentors in the past, they don't have a set schedule. Whenever someone reaches out to them, they respond just about 24/7 and offer if they're available or when they're available to just jump on a call randomly. And I also see how that has so negatively impacted their health. Like, one of my mentors has been, in the last 5 years, down for the count with major sickness for 2 to 3 months. Another time, the same person had a massive heart attack where he's still recovering over a year later. And I see stress as a huge contributor to that. Obviously, lifestyle, too, in terms of what we put in our bodies. But when I created my schedule for my consulting, I created it to be customizable so that each week if I have, like, parenting stuff come up, I put it in and it instantly blocks off in my consulting calendar that I'm not available. And then I just send people a link, hey, you want to chat? Okay, here's my link. Pick a time that works for you in my schedule and we'll chat then. It also gives them choice. And I love that. It doesn't put this guilt or this obligation on the other person to be instantly available either. So it's a way to honor both people's time, and it really isn't selfish. It has created an environment where when I talk to people, they're much more mindful of our limited time together, so they tend to be much more focused. Often they're going to have like a bullet point list of questions or thoughts that they want to talk about, and it's less sporadic. Like, yes, there's beauty in having sporadic conversation and seeing where the conversation leads, and having structure within that is still healthy for both people, so you can actually get stuff done. So the more that I have created boundaries, and I need to get back into them a little bit more messaging-wise, but the more that I've created boundaries around my life, the more that I have seen blessings of abundance in terms of relationships as well as just prosperity and, you know, just seeing things manifest in such beautiful ways. So boundaries are a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, I guess I was going to add one more thing.
Go ahead.
With trauma, know that when you're creating a boundary, especially abuse-related trauma, no is a complete sentence. Like, you don't have to answer to anybody else. You are an adult. You don't have to answer to anybody else as if you're a child having to answer to their parent. You don't have to explain why you're saying no. You can just say, no, that doesn't work for me. And that is a full sentence. So, especially as Midwesterners, I think we are extremely guilty of kind of instilling this idea that we have to always explain ourselves and like kind of come forward with this like self-deprecating, I don't know what we call it, but it's like if we can't be accommodating for someone else, it's like a shame on us thing. And it's not, it's like, nope, I'm just not available. Okay, we'll move on.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
Don't need to explain. Don't need to just
make excuses. Just no is no, and that's okay. It's okay. Even if you have to look at yourself in the mirror for the next month and be like, I can say no, and that's okay. Legit, I have done that. because I had to retrain my mind to recognize that I am an adult. I get to say it. So that's kind of my two cents on that one, in terms of healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from a mental health aspect of things, it's so very important, especially if you're at a point where you're struggling. Because if you're struggling and you're being overwhelmed by everything around you because you're still taking on too much, and different things like that, like, you aren't doing yourself any good. Like, I guess the first part of that is respecting your own time and respecting yourself to know that you can say no and that it is okay to say no. Like Amber said, you don't owe anybody an explanation. And your mental health really, really, really relies on it. If you need to stay home for the day and just tend to your house or just breathe through the day, then do it. You don't have to tell somebody why you can't come out. You can if you need to talk to somebody. But yeah. So, knowing it's very important to know when to say no. And in that turn, knowing when to say yes. So, like, just that example with not wanting to go anywhere, you know, and be with people, there is also the opposite swing where you actually do need to get out of the house and you do need to see people. So then you need to have boundaries on yourself to call yourself out and be like,
am I just being a homebody?
You need to go and, like, talk. You need to talk to somebody. You need to confide in somebody. You need to, you know, so it can swing both ways, knowing when to say no and knowing when to say yes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, super important. Because we are, as humans, designed for community. We were not designed to be lone wolves, otherwise we would have been born as wolves. Mm-hmm. so yeah, there is this community aspect that we, even the strongest introvert does need at least one person in their life where they can just feel safe around to connect. But the more that I've healed, the more I've realized for me, and I'm only speaking for myself, introversion was a coping mechanism. I needed to tune out all the noise around me, even if it was good stuff, which there's plenty of good stuff in my life, but I needed it to be able to just tune out all the outside noise so I could, like, tune inward, but it was for a season. And now, like, I can't wait to get out to speaking events and different things. I mean, I'm not a little bit in college. I went out, like, to the bar, you know, because it was a social thing to do, but otherwise, I've never really been into that scene. I would much rather go to someone's house and, like, have, like, an afternoon sleep through a movie party than, that was actually one of my favorite things in college. It was, like, we would have, like, this, quote, study afternoon on the weekend, but really what it would be is, like, just, you know, pillows on the floor and just, like, basically daytime sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
But how is that form of self-care? And it's such a beautiful thing to have someone you're close to be able to just come and chill with you and do a whole lot of nothing.
Do nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What else we got about boundaries?
No, I understand. On the other hand, I'm over here like, man, I'm like that solitary person sometimes. I think as I get older, I'm like, now that we live out in the country, I just, like, could be lost out there for weeks.
But you're also being one with nature and one with your family. It's not like you're literally out in this little cottage by yourself in the woods where you're, you know.
I still get out.
Yes. There's a difference.
I work in stuff, so. Maybe someday.
Right. No, I'm just kidding. Well, if the world really goes crazy like some predict.
Well, if I'm going to create what I want to create out there with that sanctuary, you all can just
come over to my
peaceful. You can come hang out, with me. Mm-hmm. We'll do yoga and sound baths and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, and then we can do a technology retreat and reset.
Technology reset, like no technology.
Yeah.
That was actually one of my boundary points.
Nice. Okay, well, touch on it because I'll build on it.
But we kind of have touched on it a little bit, but not using the word boundary so much, but setting limits, boundaries on yourself. I know I mentioned that, but boundaries with the things that you can set boundaries on certain things in your life that you maybe sometimes have an excess, like a TV show. Like you're binge watching a TV show, you can have a boundary and set a boundary for yourself to go to bed by 10 o'clock or turn the TV off by 9 o'clock. If you're one of those that listens to talk shows or different things that are of a more negative nature or that create more like movies too that create more of a sense of unease, don't listen to it before you go to bed. Like these are just boundaries that you set in your mind. Be like, I can't do this. So
I won't do this.
Yes,
that's
you can do
stronger.
It. I won't. So, so that's bringing in that awareness that we've been talking so much about, and taking responsibility for it, because without your action and boundary, you know, it will continue and your patterns will continue and you'll feel the same. And so boundaries is huge on yourself when you're trying to improve things.
Absolutely. I love that because, like, what you said just kind of triggered a memory. Like, I remember I used to go to sleep with the radio on. And it was just, like, on a local channel for us is Mix 96. So very often, especially on weekends, it would do, like, this rewind kind of thing where it was, like, basically music from any genre, but through the decades, essentially. And I realized how much that was, like, subliminally impacting me. And now my son thrives with having sleep sounds on, but they're more of a white noise, where it's just the sound of rain or, you know, waves, something that's just neutral, but also creates that white noise so that it blocks out more, like, those random nighttime noises. And at first, I had a hard time falling asleep because I then transitioned to nothing in college. And now the sleep sounds or having a fan on, definitely a good thing for me to be sleeping with. It gives just this, again, it's something that I do that has made my sleep time more of a ritual. It's like, okay, sleep sounds are on. This is when I'm turning my brain off from all of the clutter, all of the chaos of the day, and I'm just going to choose gratitude and just being still and focusing on relaxing every part of my body. And usually between my gratitude exercise and mentally going through relaxing all parts of my body, I'm asleep before I ever finish, guaranteed. One of my mentors, what she calls it is going ape. It's an appreciation perspective exercise or experience. Really just being grateful for every single thing throughout your day. I'm grateful I was able to get out of bed today. I'm grateful that I'm breathing today. I'm grateful that I've made my bed. Like, even the simplest little things. Or it could be the really big things. I'm grateful that I had that difficult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for my mom, for my dog, for my son. Like, you can do every single one of those things, and I can guarantee you, you will not run out of things to be grateful for before you fall asleep. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
No money back, though.
Right?
Gratitude
is so powerful.
It is, and it impacts our sleep, it impacts our dream state,
mm-hmm.
it impacts how we wake up in the morning. So having
our
a
mindset.
Good day. Yes. Yep. Having a good day actually starts the night before.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually a self-care, something I've tried and I recommend to people is when you wake up in the morning or before you go to bed, write down three things you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just say them in your head. Just get in the habit. When you wake up, think of three things you're grateful for. Before you go to bed, think of three things. Super
mm-hmm.
simple little random self-care.
Yep.
Tip in there.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, gratitude is where it's at. That book you gave me is like all about gratitude.
Yay.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot about it.
And it really does shift our mindfulness too, because if we have been stuck in an environment or put in an environment full of negativity, negative messages, where people in the family, quote, lovingly insult each other, that's actually not healthy. Like, there's some level of joking, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, that was a klutzy thing to do, but as a joke on an mm-hmm. occasion.
And not, like, mean.
Right.
Like, people say, like, mean things. It's like,
why
do you need to say that? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're laughing and they think it's funny. Like, it's not nice.
Exactly.
I don't understand. I've had that conversation a few times.
Oh, same here. I won't say with who, but we don't have to choose being mean as a way of communicating with each other or with ourselves. That's the main focus today, like choosing kindness, choosing lovingness and gratitude for others and ourselves.
And creating boundaries so you won't accept anything else.
Yeah.
Anything other than that kindness.
Because that's how we can prevent getting into abusive relationships too, is...
Yeah. Have those boundaries in place.
Yep.
And they won't even be a possibility because you won't stand for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you have those boundaries, you're not going to be as easy of a target.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Absolutely.
That gets me into my last little point there. Do we got time for my last little point on boundaries?
Yes.
This one is really, really hard. And sometimes setting boundaries requires letting go of unhealthy and toxic things or people.
Oof. Boom. That was me snapping, like, kudos to that because, if you guys have listened to the show for any amount of time, you may have heard me mention that I've actually disowned an aunt because she was a toxic person in my life. That's an easy one for me to talk about. My divorce, that one is still very personal. There's still things that are ongoing with it that I just don't share a lot publicly. But what happened with my aunt was, and I was years into my essential oil business at that point. I did not spam people. I was always very loving and respectful, like, oh, hey, you know, I noticed you mentioned this, and just transitioning, like, I happen to use this, and I feel like it doesn't bother me as much, da-da-da-da-da. This wasn't even essential oils related, but I posted on how people can do, like, natural Easter egg dyeing, which is actually timely for this call since it's that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And she messaged me and attacked me and was very patronizing, saying that I was poo-pooing on all of the social media fun, and yet the people I had responded to, they were grateful I shared. So she was the only one offended. And she just kept at it to the point I asked my parents, and it was my dad's sister, I'm like, do I have to take this, and can I block her? They're like, yeah, no, you don't have to take that. Go ahead and block her. And if she asks us, we'll back you up. I'm like, thank you. And I blocked her. The only times I've talked to her since that day, like, gosh, really 8-9 years ago now, is at my dad's funeral and my grandparents' funeral, and I think my sister's wedding. And it was basic pleasantries. Hey, how's it going? Sounds good. Oh, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so over there. And it was a boundary I created, and I'm so happy to be rid of that toxic energy that is not supportive of my goals and intentions. It was just a very selfish energy. And it's like, I was willing to be on board with supporting whatever her goals were, but if it's not mutual, you guys, you don't have to tolerate it. Even if it's someone that you've known for your whole life,
mm-hmm.
even your own parent. I know people who've literally had to cut ties with parents or children because they've become so harmful and toxic that the relationship is literally more harmful than it is beneficial. And it's mm-hmm. okay. That's the big thing, is it's okay.
It is. It is totally okay. You have to do what you need to do for you and your family, and I mean...
Mm-hmm. And your purpose.
And your purpose, yeah.
if people, and here's the thing, like, we are all on our own journey, on our own mission, following our own purpose. So nobody else in this world is going to be more encouraging for your purpose than you are, because they're only coming from their perspective. They cannot literally put themselves into your perspective to support you. They can imagine for a period, but they're still coming from their perspective. So putting them even in a farther out circle than your inner circle, you don't have to excommunicate them. You just don't necessarily have to talk to them every day or even every month. You know, you don't have to be all or nothing,
mm-hmm.
but just recognize where the limits of that relationship is and be okay with letting it just be that and not forcing it to be more.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, not that that wasn't difficult, because I'm sure that was difficult, but sometimes it's even harder, like somebody you love.
Yeah.
Like a toxic boyfriend, for example, like you, there is a time where there's a boundary that needs to be created where it could save your life, you know, there where it could, you know, things are getting bad, they're not getting better. It's either going to get worse or you leave. And like, that's where that boundary is. That's when I say, like, it's not always easy. Like sometimes it's a friendship that needs to end because it's just so negative. And like, you just don't feel good when you're around that person. Like that's those awareness things. And those, you might hurt people along the way, but you need to do what you need to do for you. Like nobody ever wants to hurt anybody. That's never anybody's intention. That's never been my intention. Like, but there has been times where I had to put my foot down and be like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't. I need to just go.
Yep.
And
it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, for real though. Like, but I mean, but it is kind of you. It's your actions and things like that. That
yeah.
Yeah. So, but when I talk about boundaries, that's one of the biggest ones. Is like, sometimes they're hard, but you, they're important.
They exist for a reason. Let's use them.
And it's okay.
Use mm-hmm. them. Yes, I think that's the big message for today's. It's okay.
It's okay.
Whether you only implement one little bit of self-care, it's okay. Because one little piece is actually really big.
Mm-hmm.
Creating a boundary. It's okay to create a boundary. Mm-hmm. So
create the ripple.
Yes, ripple effects are awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to pause for another commercial break. And when we come back, we will get into our third and final segment of the day. And yeah, just stay tuned.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Kantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright. We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double D, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on freedomizerradio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific here on Freedomizer Radio.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 2030, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist's real agenda, seeing through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
Hey guys, so the last three commercials I tried to play, the play button wouldn't actually play. So we're coming back. thankfully, a little early actually because we have so much to get through in this third and final segment. And we only have about 20 minutes left to crank through a bunch of stuff and give you guys a little sample. So Brittany, what do we have?
So I just wanted to kind of close this series with how we began it, talking about the autonomic nervous system and specifically the parasympathetic nervous system. So when we were talking, and we talked a lot about our self-care stuff 2 weeks ago, and, you know, we talked about boundaries and stuff today, and all of those things in creating that life and that mindset really does help, you know, especially when you're in your home base and safe, develop that parasympathetic and stimulate that nervous system. But I did want to touch on a few things that I specialize in specifically and that I've really found to be monumental in the growth, in my personal growth and in my self-care journey, and just in empowering to the point where you realize that you really have a lot of power to make your own decisions and control your thoughts and things like that. So
our brain is a very powerful thing when we let it be.
Right. So I'm going to just start with yoga and meditation. I kind of ball them into one, but they are different and can be together as well. So, but yoga, one thing with yoga I like to touch on is some people don't like it because they think it's tied to a certain religion. It is not. It is specifically your intention. So if it's your intention to connect to a higher power, to God, to whatever it may be, then that's your intention. If it is just to stretch and love your body, then that's what the intention is. So I just want to clarify for anybody that's questioning that it's not a religion. It's completely your intention and mindset when it comes to it. So with yoga and meditation, it can be kind of tough because you feel like you have to go to a class or have somebody do it for you to actually learn it or do it. Whereas I guess part of what I do is I help people develop their own practice. So, and I do that because that's how I did with myself. So literally how I started, and you can do this exact same thing, YouTube. There's all kinds of YouTube videos out there. Yoga with Adrienne is one that she's really good. There's a few others as well, but really you just put it in there and you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff to look at. You can do gentle yoga for an easier yoga. You can do like yoga for mental health or yoga for anxiety. Those are often slower paced. Yoga is good to start with. And same with meditations. You can type in gratitude meditation and you'll get hundreds. Yep. You can type it, you know, so literally if you're not going down that path, like it's not that it's your fault, but I mean, it's at your fingertips. You know, there is yoga at your fingertips.
You have no one to blame except yourself. Yes. If you're not already like use those resources.
Yes. And
not blame, but like,
not,
yeah. How do we say that?
I don't know. I feel like I should backtrack. Rewind. I didn't say that right. But
you can only benefit yourself even more by using what's already freely available online.
Right. It's that growth mindset. So like you think you feel like you can't do something because you can't make it to a class or you can't afford to go to a class. That's the growth mindset. Is you can. You just, if you have the internet or access to your phone, look it up. And there you go. Like, it may not be your perfect vision of how you were doing yoga, but it will teach you the fundamentals and the basics that you can take and even create your own. So, like, at home, you might get to a point once you do a few classes that you can just put on music and listen to your body and just stretch as you feel your body needs to stretch. That is perfectly fine for yoga. You don't need to have a whole hour class. Getting down on the floor, putting a blanket, putting a mat down, and just doing a few stretches and listening to your body, that's yoga. So you build on that. This is building still.
I mean, I've done exactly that, and I love that you mentioned yoga with Adrienne because, first of all, you guys, she has a ton of different programs on her channel that you can check into. And one of the things I did was I found a couple yoga sessions online that I really liked, and I just pretty much played them on repeat. Once I found a few that I really liked, I didn't stray from them. When I learned a few more things, the biggest thing when you're creating your own is just letting your body kind of flow and knowing that, you know, learning a couple transitions between different types of movements is like all you need. And even then, I have started out with doing yoga, sitting down, and all of a sudden my body is like, nope, you need to stand now. And I've literally just kind of paused and gently stood up and then started doing standing things or vice versa. It doesn't have to be pretty when you're in your own living room or your own bedroom. As long as you're not, you know, being unsafe with your body. And when you're listening to your body, you know what feels good and what doesn't. And that's the big thing, is just doing what's in your capacity right now. There's always a time and place to strengthen and expand. But there's also just, you know, what is it? An object in motion stays in motion. Newton's law, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole concept of Newton's law, where an object in motion stays in motion and an object at rest stays at rest. Even if you're just moving, that alone is enough. And just being okay with it.
Right.
So, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
As I'm stretching and like,
and
by the end of the 90 minutes, it gets a little long. I can't imagine sitting for a 3-hour call. It's a lot. Okay.
Yes. And so like with the yoga and meditation, and I could put breath work right in here as well. I highly recommend bringing it into the start of your day or the end of your day. Or really anywhere in between, but anytime, just do anything. No, but the first part of your day, you know, we mentioned the gratitude. We mentioned to start your day off on that note is very, very powerful. So starting your day off with, you know, a 3 to 5 minute meditation or doing just a few stretches where you're being present can drastically change.
It sets the pace.
Yeah.
And how you're going to choose to be in your day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then same for the evening, you know, it sets the pace for your sleep that night, you know, for your subconscious, for all of that going into your sleep cycles. So not that you have to do it both, but either is very beneficial. And like you said, if you can't do, you know, morning or evening, do it anytime in between.
Lunch break.
So get creative about it.
Mm-hmm.
Who
knows, maybe you end up starting a new office trend where the 2 o'clock slump happens, everyone meets in the conference room for like a 2 minute stretch, whatever, you know, and mm-hmm. No one, it doesn't have to be like, choreographed. Everyone just stretch, however you want to stretch, just move.
Right.
Like you could start a trend and then everyone in that office is going to feel better in those afternoons. By you being bold, stepping out and doing what's good for you and they follow suit. That'd be pretty sweet.
I've actually thought of that as an idea before. Like, they should, you know, like, kindergarten has nap time, you know, like, not that we don't want nap time, but, like, having, like, a midday stretch or, like, a recentering, like, would really probably improve the productivity of a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, in the morning before starting, like, have, like, a centering or, like, a intention for the day.
Like it.
Yeah.
Businesses could literally hire you to improve, like, productivity and morale just with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So these are things that for sure science proven stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the things we're talking about. Another one I mentioned already is breath work. So, and we mentioned it before about anxiety and breath work. So a lot of times when we're anxious and we're in that fight or flight, we're doing something weird with our breath. We're either holding our breath or breathing rapidly, or there's a number of different things, but that breath work, the becoming mindful, tuning in, slowing the breath down, that helps to stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, calm your anxiety, calm you down, and it's a very powerful thing. So I really challenge you, if you're somebody with anxiety, pay attention to that. Bring awareness to your breathing, especially if you're anxious, and just start taking some deep breaths. And I was going to do just one or two breath exercises. What do you think at this point? One or two? What we got time for? Probably one?
Yeah, let's do one.
We'll do one, and I'll just describe the other one for you. It'll be simple. So the one we're going to do, if you've done any breath work ever, you might have already done this because it's pretty common. It's called square breathing or box breathing. So all that it is you pick a number. Often you start with 4.
Wait, we don't have to sit in a box to do it?
You don't.
Oh, I've
have
been
to
doing
sit.
It wrong. Just kidding.
I'm sorry. Does that mean for the circle breath?
We have to sit in a hula hoop.
Yes.
She does, like, hula hoop stuff, too, with
hoop dancing.
So, yeah, hoop dancing. So, yeah.
It's one of my meditative flow self-care things.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Square breathing or box breathing.
Yes. So, often, for starters, we start with 4 is a really good number. You can make it 6 or 5 or whatever. So, all it is inhale for 4, hold for 4, exhale 4. Hold for 4, inhale. So it's a repetitive box. So pretty much wherever you are, even if you're driving, just don't close your eyes. If you want to close your eyes, you're welcome to. But usually you just start to take a few deep breaths. So just deepen your breath, nice big inhale, bringing your awareness to your breathing here. So take a big breath, expanding your chest. Exhale, release. Do that again and start to let your mind just kind of grow calm. Any thoughts that are going through your head, just let them pass. And now go ahead and just bring in that breathing. So we're going to inhale, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, and repeat. So inhale, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, pause, 2, 3, 4. Go ahead and take a nice deep breath. And I know we're going to go right into the circle breath. So just go ahead and inhale, deep breath in. Don't even have to count. And without pausing at the top, go directly into your exhale and continue that. So then you're at the bottom, breathe in, no pause. Exhale, no pause at the top. So you are literally creating one circle of breath. Go ahead and do that one more time. Biggest one yet. Breathing in, filling your lungs. And exhale. Release. So literally that is something you can do anywhere, anytime, whether you're driving, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, but just taking a moment, and sometimes the counting with the breath does help if you have a busy monkey mind until you're more practiced. So lots of options.
Or with anxiety. With anxiety and PTSD, drawing the attention to the count also helps get out of that fight or flight, because you're drawing attention in your brain to a specific action, which is counting. So that part, that can be really helpful. She almost giggled because on that last circle breath, I was going to do like a really loud, like inhale, like, but I decided not to the very last second, but I was making the face like I was going to, so.
Too bad I don't have a camera.
Today, y'all. I am spicy.
That's all right.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that once in a while.
Yep. Ah, what about sound?
So we're gonna have to have another segment on sound alone as a spinoff, our spinoff of this.
Mm-hmm.
This trifecta.
Yeah. I mean, we've goodness touched here on it before a little bit. And you guys, if you listen to the last two segments with Brittany, you know that there is this, you know, healing frequency that's like tuned to the earth and all this stuff. And I think last time we mentioned, maybe we didn't.
We didn't get into it much of it at all.
Oh.
Are you talking about the 440 and 432?
Yeah.
No, we didn't
mention
that.
Can we at least
Yeah, we
got
to mention that.
Okay, all right.
We got to at least mention it once.
Okay. So I'll share the resource, but Brittany's going to do a quick little overview of, like, the explanation. I have your folder from the retreat if you want it. So go on YouTube and search just John Lennon's Imagine song. And now I want you to open two YouTube tabs if you can, either that or just listen to them back to back, or search them back to back. On the first tab, open just a regular audio for the Imagine song.
It's the music video, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's the actual music video.
Yep. And then I want you to search John Lennon Imagine 432 Hertz. And find the video where they actually play it tuned to 432 hertz. And then listen to them, like, right after each other and hear the difference. Now, what's the difference and why? And would you recommend listening to one first and then the other?
I would say listen to the 440.
So the regular one.
Listen to the regular one. And then listen to the 432. And then when I did it, I actually went back and listened to the 440 again.
Yes. Yep.
Because you just, it's subtle, but, like, you just feel differently, like, lighter, flowy. I don't know what the word is, but I had to go back to, like, see if there was really a, you know, and it definitely was. It was pretty cool, actually.
Yep. The harmonies in the musical notes in the 432 hertz version, and there are other examples of 440 versus 432. You can go down that whole rabbit hole on YouTube, mm-hmm. but the harmonies in the 432 tuned music just resonates so much smoother. You're right, like, I think lighter is the best way to put it. It just feels good. Versus when you go back to the 440, especially if you're someone who's already naturally sensitive to a lot of, like, sounds and external things, be careful because you might end up being, like, irritated by 440 hertz music for, like, a little bit if you're really sensitive. like I'm a music nerd too. And so I actually took a little bit of time away from music to kind of like reset my brain just to what's like what we're used to. Cause going back and forth, it can just cause irritation going back to the 440 Hertz. But that's actually a really big indication of the impact that it has on us. Mm-hmm. So what impact, like what's, why is 432 so important?
Well, it's the closest frequency to the universe, to Earth itself. And frequencies are so huge because, it's really hard to get into this with 3 minutes.
I know.
Basically, frequencies affect our body differently. Different frequencies affect our body differently, some in a healing tone, some in not. And the 432, like I said, is the frequency of the universe. The 440 is more of a disruptive, disconnected frequency.
Maybe we should just tell them to search the rabbit hole of how 440 became the standard with a certain really bad leader during World War II intentionally creating dissonance and everything in chaos. So
right.
I think for the time being, since we only have 2 minutes left and we need to still do our wrap-up, do a search on why 432 is important and why 440 was started in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rabbit hole. There's a certain, I don't know if we're going to get like shadow banned if we say his name. So.
Right. No, we don't need to, but basically in the realm of it, like sound healing is huge for stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. So we can go down rabbit holes with that, but look into cymatics and how sound affects the body. And truly with these frequencies, these healing frequencies and not disruptive ones, there are ways we can heal our body through. Through sound.
And cymatics, that's C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S.
C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So we will definitely do a bonus session all just about sound and its impact on self-care and healing and wellness and all the good things. For more on Brittany and what she's up to, definitely check her out on One Wellness on Facebook. That's O.N.E. Wellness. And her profile picture on that page is a beautiful hand-painted rainbow flower. You can also contact Brittany directly at yogamindcoach@gmail.com. This is our third of three-part series with Brittany. We will be scheduling a bonus session here.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up. So we'll figure that out and we'll get it advertised so you guys can tune in. This has been episode 33 of the Living with Freedom Show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Amber S. From Living with Freedom Ministries. And remember to schedule in this show in your calendar every Tuesday, 2 to 3:30 Central, noon to 1:30 Pacific. And we'll see you guys next week.